blessing. Amen. Well, it's another great privilege for me to get up here and get this opportunity to open the Word of God with you this morning. If you would, turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And while you're looking for that, I want to say thanks again, Pastor, for this opportunity. Thank you, church, for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you, Brandon and Benita, for hosting us last night. We had a terrific time. Our kids had a terrific time playing with their kids. Brother Brandon is one of my closest friends in the ministry. There are very few people I call before I call Brandon and ask him questions, and I'm very, very thankful for his friendship. It's really good to have friends like Brandon, Jeremy, and Tim, and Richard, guys like that. I'm very thankful for that. I also want to acknowledge my brother Kevin. Is here, Kevin? Raise your hand there. And so my brother Kevin is visiting. He's just moved into the area. He was a Marine, a veteran in Iraq. Prayed for him very diligently. Many times he'd be, obviously many hours ahead, he'd send me a little text or something in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. I'd wake up and see if he's okay. And if he's okay, I just started praying for him. And of the recent memories, this is one of my favorite memories, when I heard that he was safely back from Iraq. And I'm very thankful to have him here. He's just moved back in the area. He's looking for a good church. I told him about this one. So maybe you all can extend the hand of fellowship to him today. Matthew chapter 5. And if you are physically able, if you would, stand to your feet. I'm going to read four verses, starting in verse 13. Very familiar verses. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse 13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, in these brief moments that we have, Lord, help us now to cast out the distractions of the week that has been, Lord, and the week that is coming. Allow us to focus our minds on you. And Lord, more specifically, focus our hearts individually in what we can do, not only in this area of worldwide missions, but Lord, right here in Northern Virginia. Lord, use your Holy Spirit this morning to speak to us. Allow me to be your clear instrument, Lord, to proclaim your truth. And Lord, no matter the age of the receptor today, Lord, I pray that we would all understand better what we are to do, to be salt and light in this world. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A few months ago when I was asked to speak this morning, I prayed diligently about what we should speak about, asked the Holy Spirit to guide my heart. And the Lord placed on my heart two specific themes. The first is the theme of, when we talk about missions, but we first talk about our own hearts towards missions. We do serve the Lord in this area of missions collectively and corporately as a church, but it starts with each individual. And so tonight we're going to talk about it from the church side, the corporate aspect, us serving together, unified. But this morning we're going to talk about the heart and each one of us individually. I lived in Northern Virginia from 2000 to 2006. And I know that the dynamics and the demographics have changed probably even more dramatically. But where I lived, the mission field was in my neighborhood. Whether it would be different world religions and people from all parts of the earth. And I'm sure it's even more the case today. And so when we talk about missions, it is wonderful that we have the heart to give to people who we will never meet. But if that's going to be our true heart's commitment for our lifetime, it also needs to start right here in Northern Virginia. And we know that we live in a spiritually dark world. In fact, that's the word the Bible uses, darkness. Those who've chosen to live without Jesus Christ are spiritually in darkness. And everywhere we look, we see the manifestation of that darkness. We see violence. We see crimes against women and children. We see people who are addicted to life-altering drugs. We see senseless murders and suicides. We see this, and if someone watches the nightly news, they can become depressed. That's one of the reasons why I don't do that very often. Watch the nightly news, because it can be depressing to see what's happening in our world. We see the degradation of our culture. We see every form of perverseness that is prevalent. And some people will say, not believers, but some people will say, where is God? Where is he today? Where is he in the midst of all this darkness? Now, we that know God know that he is ever present. He is here with us. We know that He is here. In fact, this portion of Scriptures gives us the encouragement and the direction in our lives that we are to reflect His light. We are to be salt in this world because there's so much darkness. Now, we know that we ourselves are not the light. We know that Jesus Christ is the light. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says very clearly, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When Christ has called us to be the salt and the light, He's called us to reflect His glory, His light. And when we think about missions, we think about sending the light. But that light starts right here at home. It starts in our hearts, reflecting His glory. Paul mentioned it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about us reflecting that light, the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is to him them that are lost, in whom the God," small g, "Satan of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's what we are to be. We are to be reflectors of the light of Christ. Now, I know we've studied this passage in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, many times, but today I just pray that you would examine yourselves. And before we think of ourselves as a congregation, we're going to look introspectively, look at each individual. Are we serving as that salt? Are we serving as that light that Christ has mandated that we be? We know that we live in a spiritually dark world where Satan is very active. I read an article very recently, and I think this event actually took place a while back, in the state of California. Remember, this is the United States. In the state of California, someone got in trouble because they did not have a permit to have a Bible study in their home. Now think about that. You can invite your friends over to do whatever perverse acts or activities you want to do, anything you can imagine. But to study God's word in your home, you had to have a special permit. That lets us know that we live in spiritually dark times. And we know that the answer for that is Jesus Christ. Now, I don't say all this to discourage us or depress us, but I want us to know and remember there is hope. And in fact, you know, the best deterrent towards darkness is light. Light. And we have that light in the gospel right here of Jesus Christ. And if you don't remember anything this morning, remember this and ask the Lord to work in your heart. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to be the light of the world. We are called to reflect His light in this dark world. I don't have to tell you what's going on in America today. I don't have to tell you what's going on in the world today. And the answer is not a political party. The answer is not what we think we can do as men. But the answer is found here in the Scripture in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. World missions is about sharing that light. Not just on the mission field. Well, it is on the mission field, right here where we are. And it starts in our hearts. It starts being given over to the Lord and dedicated to reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. Now, very briefly this morning, we're going to examine three truths. Three truths from the Scripture concerning this undeniable fact that we are to be God's light in this world. Now, notice the first truth this morning is that God has a divine plan for us. God has a divine plan for us, and that is to be those who influence others. God has called us to be those who influence others in this world. Notice in verse 14, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." The divine plan of God for the lost is the preaching of His glorious gospel. He has called us to do it. He has called you and me to preach the gospel. He may not have called you to go to China or Africa or India, but He expects you to preach His gospel where you live, in your work, in your neighborhood, on your ball team. The world is full of people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He gives us an amazing illustration. He starts in verse 13. He uses how we can influence from within. And He uses the illustration of salt. We are to be salt in this world. Notice verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men." God has called us to be salt in this earth. Now, I'm sure you've studied this and probably heard messages on this, but You know, salt brings many reactions. One of the more important reactions, I don't know how about you understand this, but in the Dominican Republic, we don't have a lot of American restaurants. We have some. It's not like living in Uganda. We do have a few, okay? But we don't have probably the most important one, Chick-fil-A. You understand that, right? In fact, I've told my family members, if Chick-fil-A ever comes to the Dominican Republic, we're probably not coming home anymore. You just come visit us, okay? We're going to stay there. We love Chick-fil-A. And one of the most underrated items at Chick-fil-A, I still believe to this day, are the waffle fries. We know that's God's place, you know, Chick-fil-A, right? It's closed on Sundays. And so, but have you ever had a waffle fry and it didn't have any salt? And you just looked at the people and said, that's just wrong. You should, where's the salt? A waffle fry is not complete without salt. You know, and what a perfect illustration as a believer, because it provides flavor. What a great illustration for us. We should not be sour Christians. How we live our lives should bring glory to God through the flavor of our testimony. You know, how we live our life. We have a neighbor, and I know what it's like living in Northern Virginia. I don't know if Kevin remembers this story, but Brett, my older brother, not older, younger brother, Brett, he's older than Kevin. He and I used to live together over there in Sterling. And one time, I think Brett just didn't know, and he backed up my car right in smack dab into one of our neighbors. I didn't know this. The neighbor came and told me that I wrecked his car. I didn't do it. And so come to find out, this gentleman was a Muslim. And I remember how important it was that I had to keep my testimony, knowing I didn't do anything wrong. But this guy was knowing I was a guy who goes to church. I was studying to be a pastor. How we react with others, how we live our lives, will have influence. Just like that salt provides flavor, we provide flavor through our testimony from within. But after you've had those, a big, and you can't have a small thing of waffle fries. You have to order the large, you know. And if they're extra large, you need to get that. After you eat waffle fries, what do you need next? What happens? What's the other reaction your body has? Thirst. Okay? Thirst. And there's no other way to go. If you go another route, you're wrong. There's no other way to go than a Dr. Pepper, a very large Dr. Pepper. I'm very proud to say when we came to the Dominican Republic, our first goal was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. My second goal was to make sure they would get Dr. Pepper. And praise God, he answered both of those prayers, okay? But salt brings thirst, desire to be quenched. That's another great illustration when we think of the believer. We have a good spirit, good testimony, good attitude. That it's a flavor someone desires to be around us. But also, they're thirsty to know more why we are the way we are. What a tremendous illustration that Christ gives us. Also, salt provides preservation. In the old days, before they had refrigeration, they used salt to preserve fruits and vegetables and meats and things like that. You know, the believers, that's a reason why we should be active in our community. God blesses communities where there are more believers and preserves communities through his Holy Spirit. What a great illustration for us to be salt in this world, how we can make the influence from within. We can only do that when we have the character that reflect the love of God. Now, what I'm trying to say is young people, especially people who work in the secular world, the way you live your life is vitally important. Your testimony is so important. If you're not an honest employee, if you're the person that tells or listens to off color and dirty jokes, if you're a person that has a wandering eye towards the other sex that's not your husband or wife, let me tell you, you'll be known as a fake. The world will see that. The world knows how a Christian should live. And you will have no influence in this world. You'll be considered a phony. Yet, if you do have the character that you are faithful to God no matter what, you're faithful to your spouse, you're an honest employee, let me tell you, the world will take notice. The world will notice, and they will have a savor and a desire to know why you are the way you are. We are to be the salt that changes things from within. Now, he gives us another illustration. He says we're to be salt, and what's the other one? Light. Light. That's the external influence. Both are talking about our conduct, but this is more forceful. This is more how we live our lives very openly, the way we live our lives. Verse 14, the second half says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ and you live for him, that will be evident. You will not be able to hide it. It will be true in your character and true in your daily walk for the Lord. The light mentioned by Christ here is the light of our conduct. Our light should shine brightly in a dark world. Now, there's many verses that talk about light. We know that God's word is light. Psalms 119, thy word is thy lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know Jesus Christ is the light, but it's like you and I are mirrors that reflect his glory. That when someone, have you ever had been driving and there's a reflection and you just can't help but notice it because it'll bother somebody. It's present in your life. That's how we are to be a believers. They're just obvious how we live our lives, that we're reflecting the glory of our Father Jesus and our Father Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we want to have impact in this world, parents, sometimes we may need to make difficult decisions. Being a parent is not easy. Sometimes it means that we have to say to our children, kids, I know all of your friends are doing this. I know all the world is doing this. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we cannot. We have to stay true to the Lord and his word. And we know that's not always a popular thing to do. Maybe in your place of work, it means you have to be honest when the boss has asked you not to be. He's asked you to lie on a report or participate in a group activity you would not feel comfortable because you're a Christian. There are times where we have to walk the opposite way of the world to show our light. It's not easy, but it is important. We show influence in this world. As a church, it's a priority that we shine the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." As a church, and we'll talk about this more tonight, collectively, corporately, together, we're to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ by telling others about him, by praying, by giving, by going, by sending. There's so much to be done. And Christ has said, "I have a perfect plan for you. It is to influence this world." I watch the same news. I read the same news that you do. I know how difficult culture is right now. If you truly want to change this culture, as much as we should be good citizens and we absolutely need to vote, I've already voted, that is what we need to do. But that won't change the world. Our influence by reflecting God's glory from within and through our external, our daily walks will change the world for Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. That's what the Bible's telling us. Now, introspectively, what are you doing? How are you influencing others? Do you recognize and realize there are people you will cross paths with tomorrow that the pastoral staff, those who go out and tell others about Jesus, will never meet, let alone have an influence? You have influence in people's lives tomorrow. Ask the Lord what you can do to be that salt, to be that light, to reflect his glory. If we're really, truly going to change the world, we know it starts with us. It starts with every believer desiring to be salt and light. Now, the first truth is God has a plan, and we are to influence. Unfortunately, the second truth is we have a problem. Often is our failure to obey. There's a phrase I like to say in Spanish all the time. Holly gets tired of it because I just say it all the time. But I tell our people at church, you know, most people's problem with the Bible is not the things they don't understand, yet are the things they understand and don't do. So many people understand what they need to do, they just simply don't do it. And that happens in our own lives. Notice in verse 13, second half, the Bible says, "But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot." Verse 15, the very first part. "Neither do men light a candle and put a bushel under it." Our mandate is to be salt and light. But when we fail in this area, we lose our savor and we lose our brilliance as Christians. Have you ever known a Christian that's lost its savor or his flavor for the Lord? I have. It's not pretty. In fact, one of the biggest detractors to the expansion of the kingdom of God sometimes are the awful testimonies of believers. Would to God that we would not be that way, that we'd stay faithful. One of the most encouraging things for me and for Holly when we come back are to see the people who are still here serving the Lord. And I know many have moved away. They're not away from the Lord, even though the pastor says that sometimes. And when they move away, they're moving away from the Lord. We know that. We know he's teasing. But to see you just in your spot serving the Lord, there's nothing greater, nothing animates us and encourages us more than that. Yet there are many who have fallen, who've lost their shine for Jesus Christ. Now understand, when we fail, it doesn't mean we lose our salvation, but we lose our influence. We lose our influence. It's so important that you keep a right testimony. It breaks my heart to think of pastor and missionary friends who've lost their testimonies and their families, dear friends in the Lord. And that should serve not as for us in any level to be pious or judgmental, because we know it could be any one of us, but to encourage us to stay faithful to the Lord. To know that we at any time could fail, so we need to stay close to Him and obey His mandate to be salt and light in this world. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but we're always supposed to be growing in the Lord, maturing, desiring to be closer to Him. We should be men and women who, through our good works, we know that we're not saved through them, but they're a manifestation of our salvation. And through our good works, others would see that and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I was not here when this happened, but I was able to see the different links and videos when Brother George Crisp passed away. And one of the things that I remember is that when they were talking about this horrific accident on the news, they often talked about how not only did he have a wonderful family and a successful business, but were the missions trips he would go on. And how God was glorified through his testimony, how he would take his time and his talents to other parts of the world and serve. And I know a number of people got saved through that. You know, whoever you are, whatever you do, you can glorify the Lord. You can reflect his glory. I remember when I started working at Sprint Communications, at that time I was not serving the Lord the way I needed to be. And I thank the Lord he directed my steps here to Temple. And very shortly after becoming a member here, I just remember growing in the Lord like I never had before. And I started talking to a lot of my coworkers. And there was a coworker who was already a believer there, but he needed a good church. And he saw what I was like before I was on fire for the Lord. And he saw how I was after. And I remember him approaching me and asking me a lot about my church. And I said, well, you need to come some Sunday. And he came. And I praise God that he's still a faithful member here today. That's Brother Richard Dean. I'm very thankful that the Lord allowed my influence not to stay a bad one, to become a good one, so that he could find a church. I know many of you have been blessed by his testimony, as he is a faithful believer in the Lord. And so let me say, if you've messed up in an area like that with a neighbor or coworker, there's still time. There's still time. Humble yourself, ask for forgiveness, but realize we're to be salt and light. If we're going to change this world for Jesus Christ, it starts with us, with the right spirit, the right heart. So this morning, we see that God has a divine plan, and that is that we are to influence from within and without. We also see that we have a problem. Often, we simply do not obey. Lastly, I want you to see that God has an ultimate purpose, and that is to receive glory. Notice verse 16, culmination of these wonderful verses. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify. Notice this, not our church, not us individually. We thank you so much when you call us heroes, but that is a very daunting word, as Brother Jeremy would attest. We don't like being called heroes. We are normal people, because we want our good works to glorify who? Our Father, which is in heaven. What we do here as a church and as a church around the world, we do it to glorify our Lord so they reflect his glory. That word good works there, the Greek word just simply means of great quality or great beauty. The idea is that our good works are so apparent around those that they see them and they want to glorify God. Do you know one of the good works that they're speaking of here is giving generously to world missions? When we give generously to world missions, we show how serious we are, how serious-minded we are about others and other lands. You know, the world says they don't understand the idea of giving to God often, but everyone has a God, big God or small g God. And the world, if they don't give their tithes and offering to the one true God, they often tithe to their God, which is themselves. I'm a big college football fan. After starting to date Holly, I found the University of Georgia and become a big fan. I just saw that they're going to go to the SEC championship. And I was like, I'm going to be in Atlanta in December. I should see how much the tickets are. Well, they're about $500 for the back row. Now, if football was my God, I probably would do that, but it's not. And so I can't go. I'll watch it on TV, all right? And so, but the world recognizes that we give money to our gods. And when the world sees that we are so serious that we give it to our church so that others can hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they take notice. They see that there's nothing in it for us other than the glory of Jesus Christ. And God receives honor for that. It's impossible to not receive God, not receive glory when we desire to give generously to him through a true heart and a right heart. Now, like I said, there are going to be people you cross paths with tomorrow. There are going to be people you have the life and their influence. You will talk to neighbors that the staff here will never talk to. What are you going to do about that? Are you just going to let that moment pass? Are you going to think about how you should be salt, how you should be light in their world, how you can make an influence in their lives? As we focus this evening on worldwide missions, we should take time to examine ourselves as individuals. What will we do? What will we do individually? So much of it is not just giving. How many of you were able to see the presentation this morning? All right. I'm very blessed. One of the former church members here, Brother Phil Flack, has always helped me with those. I'm thankful that I can put things together and just send an email and he puts it together. He uses his time and his talents to serve others. So many of you have done things like that, housed us, sent us gifts, encouraged us, prayed for us, come to visit us. That's being salt and light. That's having influence in our lives so we can influence others. Think about what you can do for the glory of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27 says this, and we'll end on this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, the heathen, those who have not heard, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the difference between us here today and just being part of some social club? The difference is we have the hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ living inside of us. If you were here today and you had the remedy, you had the answer to cure cancer, and you left this place and you were shy about sharing that, or maybe you just would tell one or two people, how would the world react if they knew that you knew that secret, you knew that answer, and you would not share? You would be vilified. Yet we have the answer and have the remedy and the cure for sin. How often we hide it under a bushel. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Today, as we think about missions, think about yourself. How we can be salt and light in this dark world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your clear word. I thank you for how clear it is for us to understand what you have for us, what we're to do. And yet, Lord, so often we know what we need to do and we just simply don't do it. Lord, I pray you would touch hearts today. Maybe there's someone here today. You've been working on their heart for a coworker, a neighbor, maybe a family member who needs to hear the truth of the gospel and have their lives transformed. Maybe they've gone through difficulties. But God has placed you in their life for a specific reason, to influence them. I pray that today you would ask the Lord to give you the confidence and the strength you need to reach out to them. It's not your job to save them. The Holy Spirit does that. It's our job to go and to preach. Maybe there's a young person here today who has clenched their fist and just has their own plan. Maybe today you would examine and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to go or do whatever you have for me to do. I pray that hearts would be open to God's leading so that you and I can have the influence in the world and be the salt and light that we need to be for Jesus' glory.
Father, would you speak to hearts today? Lord, as we look at what we could do, the good works that we could accomplish for your name's sake, Lord, I realize that you don't need us, and we need you. But Lord Jesus, you have chosen to use us. And I pray you'd help us not to put a basket over our light. We do that with sin, Lord. We do that with things we do wrong. We don't say to the people that see it, I'm sorry. Lord, I pray that you would speak to every heart that's here today, that we'd see the problem that we can be, and yet, Lord Jesus, we would see the purpose, and we're here to lift you up and cause people to see you. I just ask for your power in our lives. And Lord, would you walk it up and down every aisle and every seat in this building, and would you touch the hearts of us that we might yield ourselves to you. In your precious name we pray.